This is Audible.
When the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, I will try to fix you.
Keeping Your Chins Up, starring Sarah Millican.
In March 2004, my husband of 7 years gave up smoking and was tetchy. He also gave up me. Clearly living with me had a damaging effect on his heart. My culinary skills affected his ability to taste food. And after a year without me, he was able to buy a car. I bullied him into going to Relate, where we paid £70 for a man to say he could do nothing for us. They were the most expensive tissues I've ever snotted into. Abandoned, like an advanced cancer that I hoped, at the time, was growing on his lungs. We trundled off to Frankie and Benny's, where he ordered and devoured many a chicken wing. I could do nothing but vomit. At least I was getting thinner. While he was eating what appeared to be the first meal of the rest of his life. In an impressive display of a lack of communication, we argued about broccoli, like a snapshot of our relationship. A photograph in which I suggested he didn't like the vegetable, to which he countered, "I've always liked broccoli, you just never got me in." It was the fear that I may in future withhold much-loved vegetables from other men, which encouraged me to consider one-on-one counselling. Up until then, I had deemed counselling only for those who didn't have a love and understanding family and countless friends to cry at. I rang the Samaritans first, who didn't laugh when I told them not to worry that I was rubbish at tying knots. My dad told me recently that women only ever kill themselves by slitting their wrists in the bath, because they don't like to make a mess. Like it'd clear up the thickest of it, leaving a note that said, "I can't take any more, the flash is under the sink." After a small waiting period, my appointment arrived and I was subjected to an hour of tepid counselling for beginners, including a questionnaire with ticky boxes. I have planned my own funeral. Strongly agree, agree, disagree, strongly disagree. When she totted up my answer and said, "Clearly disappointed, it's a very low score," I answered, "Do I not win the car?" She proceeded to bully me into crying and leave thinking that she'd done a good job. She hadn't, of course, and I realised that for every bad counsellor, there was a good one. Just as for every hairdresser that made me look like someone's nana, there was one that made me look like, well, me, only better. And for every doctor who nearly killed my sister, there's one that saved my dad. People choose to have counselling for all sorts of reasons. Obviously, mine was at the end of a relationship. And I'm wondering, have we got anybody in who split up with somebody recently? Do you want to give us a woo? Ah, fella at the end just did a little wave. Nice fella at the end. Can we have a microphone for the fella at the end? Oh, bless him. Did he think the little wave would be enough? Hello, what's your name, fella?
Hello, my name's Louis.
And how long had you been with your partner, Louis?
Less than a year.
Less than a year. Is it still valid? I think it is. He seems like a nice fella. And how long have you been split up?
Since Saturday.
Since... Oh. Do you want to come up and do a bit? I'm trying to work out what day it is. Oh, it's not... So it's really literally days, isn't it? Well, it would have been no matter what day it was.
Yeah, okay.
I've just figured out how the calendar works. So, the burning question, have you had sex with anybody else since?
No.
No. And are you on the lookout?
Are you asking for...
Oh, wasn't really planning on pimping myself out tonight. Tell me, nice fella, have you considered counselling?
No, not really.
Would you?
Not in this case. She was the mental one.
So because I had counselling, are you therefore implying that... Thank you, Louis. Bless you. So I think generally, because I did obviously see a counsellor and I found it really useful. And obviously this counsellor that I'm talking about, the first one that I saw, wasn't really ideal. And for every counsellor that makes you cry, I still think there is one that allowed me to cry. And I found her and she is brilliant. But the ineffectual one that I was talking about before, she's still working. And some people must find her useful, otherwise she'd be out of a job, wouldn't she? I suppose she's just a counsellor who is unusual in her approach. A counsellor who is blunt. A counsellor who may seem tactless, but often hits the nail on the head. Just a bit hard. Rather than a counsellor who tells you to imagine a colour photograph of you and your boyfriend in happier times and drain the colour from the photograph, she just tells you to have sex with a much younger man. I can't imagine how she started. Let's call her Jean. Oh, and just so you know, the voice is going to be the same because I don't do voices. I've always been good at giving advice. I think that's where it started. Some people even ask for it. I think you can divide people into those that give advice and those that need it. Take Denise, the fat one next door. Only the other day she said,
I'm thinking of treating myself to a new bed, Jean.
A single, obviously. Do they make singles in your size? See, saved her a bit of money. She can spend the difference on books about other lonely women. And what about Kenny? He's always asking me questions.
Jean, have you seen Denise?
Yes, I have.
Is Denise in?
Yes, she is.
How is Denise?
She's bloody massive. I didn't say that. I said she was fine, if a little ruddy. He works in Greggs, you'd think he sees her enough. The cakes are lovely, though. I suppose my career in caregiving really took off when I went part-time at the home and joined the Samaritans. The training tells you that you're not supposed to interfere, but I didn't feel I was being used to my full potential, so I started helping out. Most people know the usual ways, hose pipe, slitty wrists, vodka, Red Bull. One woman even rang up cracking jokes about being rubbish at tying knots. I really wanted to laugh, but it just wasn't funny. I did some research and gave advice on more interesting ways to commit suicide. Which method are you thinking about?
Paracetamol.
Have you thought about drinking washing up liquid?
I haven't, no. How effective is that?
It's pretty much foolproof. Don't be fooled by your last few moments, because you will burp bubbles, which will falsely cheer you up. I was finished from the Samaritans, even though my figures were the highest they'd ever had. That's when I decided to go back to college and study for an NVQ in counselling. I learned how to listen, give constructive criticism based on physical appearance, and problem solving. It's important as well if you're going to be harsh to whisper it. Then it seems nicer. For my final project, I devised a questionnaire which included the questions, were you that way when you married him? And how many out of 10 do you want to die? In my personal statement, I said that I do not hold a one-size-fits-all approach to counselling. It should be tailored for the individual. That's why I developed my selection of 7 inexpensive Jean Care leaflets. Divorce, separation, domestic violence, looking on the bright side, moving on, bereavement, and stop talking, it's not helping. I've been practising for a year now and I'm due my first appraisal, today in fact. My boss, a very stern man by the name of George Moody, rang last week.
I need to secure an hour of your time for your annual appraisal, Jean.
2 p.m? Even in that one sentence, I could tell George Moody wasn't a happy man. It's like a gift. I've popped him between the baby snatcher and lonely Pam. Pam's been coming since day one. I don't have many regulars. Most people don't come back after one appointment. That's how good I am. I can handle all sorts of problems. Hello, Mr. Moody.
Jean, take a seat. Did you bring your supporting evidence?
I did. I show him my letters and cards. I got Denise to write a few I picked up in Clinton cards to bolster the numbers. Who knew her chubby hands could produce such beautiful handwriting? Oh, that one's got cake on. The genuine ones are quite touching. Rocky and Vi, who discovered they hated each other after their kids left. I got her a flat beside me and my brother lent her his van. Lazy Mel with her ME. She just needed a kick up the arse.
We've had a complaint. The patient considers your method somewhat unorthodox.
Was it the take-a-break questionnaire?
It wasn't. She mentions photographs.
Oh, I know who it was. Let me ask you this, Mr. Moody. How would you calm a person down?
Deep breaths, perhaps a mantra they could repeat under their breath, blowing into a paper bag.
Old school. Bags are all plastic now. Would you suggest I suffocate my patient?
Do you want to suffocate your patient?
You have to move with the times, Mr. Moody. For example, I'll find photographs of animals wearing clothes an integral part of the counselling process. When was the last time you dealt with an actual patient?
It's not me that's being appraised, Jean.
Of course, but I expect the last time you saw a patient was 10 years ago.
Longer, but that's not really relevant.
Then how do you expect to know what I know?
Are you talking about self-harming and flavoured youth drinks? I have teenagers, you know. They're very unhappy.
Well done, you're catching up.
I think I need to hear about some other cases. If I give you a problem, can you tell me the advice you've given most recently on that subject?
Fire away, pet.
What about if someone came in worried about their weight, but when you look at them, they don't seem to be overweight?
I've got an eating disorder.
Oh, which one?
It's the one where I think I'm fat and piss off actual fat people by claiming to be fat, when really I'm so skinny I could have any bloke I liked.
Have you ever thought about puddings? Someone told me recently that you're not supposed to have one after every meal, but I've yet to see any medical evidence to back that up, and I get the Lancet. And chat.
You suggested that she eat more?
Yeah.
It's quite a basic solution.
It worked.
Did it?
Yeah, she's 11 stone now. What I actually suggested was that she find something she enjoys eating, and by looking at me, she can see how attractive an 11 stone woman can be. It was a target weight.
I will try.
What about if a woman came in visibly distressed who had recently lost someone close to her and was finding it hard coming to terms with their death?
I can't get over the death of my grandma.
Why not?
She was really nice.
But she's in a better place.
She's not. We burnt her.
No heaven.
I don't believe in God.
Have you got another grandma?
Yeah?
Is she nice?
Yeah, she is.
Well?
Oh, thanks, Jean. I'm so glad I came.
So you reminded her of her other grandmother?
Exactly. A lot of people have no grandparents, whereas she was lucky enough still to have a grandma left. And to be honest, once I discovered she was godless, that's the only avenue open to me. But if you lose a hand and you've got one left, you're still better off than that fella who's got no nanas, right?
I will try to fix you.
Third example. A woman is arguing a lot with her partner and is unsure as to whether he loves her anymore.
I think my boyfriend wants to break up with me, but I love him so much.
Then cling on. Yep, that's what we recommend. Have you got a photo of you two together? I can read a lot from photos.
Like a psychic?
No, more instinctual. Let's have a look. Oh, yes, I can see there's a problem.
Can you?
Yeah, look how pretty you were. When was this taken?
4 years ago.
Mind, it didn't take long for you to let yourself go. This needs fixing and fast. Let me think.
Should I lose weight? Grow my hair long again? Start wearing makeup? Bin the leggings? Get rid of the tash?
All of those things. And you could get pregnant.
We don't want kids.
Nobody does, pet.
Okay, this one I have a real problem with. You can't possibly think that she should have had a baby to save a relationship.
Of course. She's relaxed into the relationship, so is he. But first, they need to work at it. Babies bond people. This couple isn't broken. They're just bored.
But being a parent isn't easy.
It's much harder for those women who don't have spunk on tap.
Sorry?
One of my clients, the baby snatcher, is one of those women who's forgotten that the biological clock doesn't run on the mains. She's fast drying up but thinks the world would be left wanting if another forgetful career woman didn't squeeze one out by any means necessary. Egg, steal or borrow. You should have done it earlier. Today we're working on how to trap a man. Since our last appointment... appointment, what progress have you made?
I went to the pub, the library, called out a plumber, started a fire in my kitchen, had an eye test, and broke an arm.
So I see. Any joy?
Publics were leery, library only had tramps. Plumber was married, fire brigade didn't come, optician was a woman, but I have got a date with the doctor who set my arm.
Ooh, when?
6 weeks.
Next week we're moving on to phase 7, befriending a new mother with a terminal illness.
What percentage of your clientele is male?
Not many. It's mostly women because women have the most problems. Men are mostly perfect, or so they like to think. Take my Ted. Show me a woman who wouldn't fall in love with the security guard for Thornton's Continental. And I'll show you a woman who probably prefers crisps and nuts. He's put the beef on mind. When he started there, he elected to have a percentage of his wages paid in chocolate and special toffee. We're always skint and his relatives are huge. He's clinically obese, though you wouldn't know to look at him. To an untrained eye, he just looks massive.
We encourage our counsellors to be in therapy while they practice. Do you discuss your marriage with your counsellor?
I have mentioned Ted, yes. Fiona's not overly fond of him.
Why is that?
She thinks I should be self-sufficient. Me and Ted have always been a more traditional couple. I cook the tea, he eats the tea. I scream, he kills the spider. He asks for sex, I think about it. But that's all changed. Now me and Fiona are working our way through a list.
No, I'm not sure I follow.
She's training me to do everything myself. For instance, I can open any jar. I'd rather die now than ask a man to open a jar for me.
Do you only eat out of jars?
No, but I'm making a point.
Well, what if there was a woman in the house?
I'd let her open a jar for me.
What about if there was a transsexual in the house?
Male to female or female to male?
Female to male, would you let him open your jar?
Yes, because he still has a woman's hands.
What about a male to female transsexual?
No.
She might be really offended by that. So you'd risk death or the loss of a good friendship to a neighbourly transsexual rather than admit you can't do everything by yourself.
But I can.
But that's not what marriage is about.
I know what marriage is about, Mr. Moody. I've been married for 15 years. And anyway, Fiona told me.
Marriage is where a woman takes her husband's name and becomes part of him, like his arm. He uses this arm to wash his clothes and cook his meals and pleasure himself. When the woman decides to do something for herself, she finds she has only one arm.
So, do you think I should become ambidextrous?
No. No, we need to rail against conformity. Reclaim your arm. You kill the spiders with that arm. Open jars with that arm. If you're going to do things for him, then you must do it all, but on your own terms.
Is feminism mostly about spiders and jars?
Mostly, yes.
There's so much to learn.
Ah, there certainly is. Next week we'll be covering our mottos. First and foremost, we regularly ask ourselves, what would Alan Sugar do?
Is he a feminist?
He's one of our best.
So I'm learning to do everything.
So your husband now does nothing?
He tries, bless him, but I just explain.
Can I help you with the dishes, love?
No, I'm perfectly capable.
I know you're capable, but I thought it might be fun.
Dishes are never fun. Frisbee is fun.
Yeah. Sex is fun.
Not with soapy hands, it's not. It's dangerous.
Oh.
I tell him that I'm a feminist now.
Have you thought that he might not feel valued? You know, people like to feel useful.
No, Mr. Moody. I'd like to keep my arm, please.
So, do you talk to him?
Peas or beans?
Peas, please, love.
Yes. Well, he does night shift, so we hardly see each other. I sometimes leave him little notes.
What do these notes say?
I've opened all the jars.
I think you could maybe do with bringing him back into your life.
But I don't need to.
I think you do. Tell me how you interact with male clients.
One of the few fellas who comes in is Terry. He reckons he has a sex addiction. There's no such thing.
I can't get enough.
You're just horny, Pet. How many times have you had it today?
None.
this week?
None.
Not very good at being addicted, are you, Terry?
Which, I'm trying to wean myself off of it.
But you're not getting any.
Well, so it's hard to meet women.
Maybe you should get yourself a dog.
Isn't that illegal?
For taking for walks.
Ah, right.
Classic way to meet tired women.
Okay, how about I give you some hypothetical situations? What would you say if someone couldn't move on after the end of a relationship?
How long was the relationship?
2 years.
And how long since they broke up?
2 months.
I'd say it was early days for her. There is a 3-point plan, though. Gain a stone, lose a stone, have sex with a young man. The easiest way to lose weight is to gain it first. What went wrong in the relationship?
She considers him pathetic.
Nothing worse than a pathetic man.
Oh, but it's because she's making him feel incapable.
How's she doing that?
She's taking over. I think maybe she could give him some power back.
Okay, let's think. She could do it subtly, start asking him to do things for her.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I'd suggest she leave him a note. Can you take the top off the marmalade, please, pet? It's on too tight. I see what you're doing, Mr. Moody.
Sorry, I'm a bit cack-handed.
Oh, I've got some wet wipes in me bag.
No, it's fine. Let me tell you about this complaint.
I know who it was. She was a new lady, and I had to go through the preliminaries. Do you consider yourself grumpy, down in the dumps, or actually depressed? And remember, depression is a chemical imbalance of the brain, and so I have to refer you to your GP. Or I've got some spare uppers from the last whingy bitch I had in here, if you prefer.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, did you burp? Fear not, Mrs. Gladwell, we're all friends here. I often lift a cheek mid-session, if you know what I mean. Mrs. Gladwell's very formal, isn't it? Can I call you Moira?
No, you certainly cannot. I'm depressed and I do not wish to partake in your naive drug abuse. I'm here to be counselled. Would you like to know what ails me?
Not till after the music. Now tell me, what seems to be the problem, Mrs. Gladwell?
I am in a crux.
Oh, do you want a different chair?
No, I consider myself a victim of social anxiety.
You're going to have to give us a bit more, pet. Is this about politics?
In company, I feel awkward.
Oh, do you mean you're shy?
I suppose so, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't need fixing. I was called Norma Normates at school, and look at me now.
Quite.
What I'd suggest is that you have a quick fix, something you do which makes you feel instantly calm and able to tackle the party, slash gathering, slash accident and emergency.
I see. And what would you suggest this thing be?
Allow me to demonstrate. Imagine the scene. You're at your house, and it's all fancy posh. You've invited 150 guests and the chef has let you down, so you're buttering away and your butler is applying the wafer-thin ham. Buns completed and flagged up, crisps in bowls, and you're ready to face the crowd. How are you feeling?
A bit sick, to be honest.
Good.
Are you at the party?
No.
Thank God.
Now consider this. In your pocket you have a photo of an animal wearing clothes. The choice is yours. A pig in slippers got me through a painful divorce. But you could equally go for a cat in a hoodie or a dog in a top hat. She's the one who complained, right?
I'm afraid I'm not allowed to disclose that information.
I showed her all of my photos, not even a flicker. I swear this job is hard. Not everyone is fixable. Are you a happy man, Mr. Moody?
In what way?
In a way that isn't sad. That's a no, then. Happy people say yes. Are you happy with your lot?
My lot?
Yes, what would you consider your lot? Attention-seeking drunk children aside. Love, job, hobbies.
I love my children, even if they are monsters. I have a nice garden. I enjoy reading.
Your job?
It pays the bills.
Do you enjoy your job?
I enjoy is a strong word.
Arsehole's a strong word. What else? Love? That's the strongest word of all, after and, of course. Do you have love in your life?
Not since Mildred.
Sex?
Me on top normally, but it's been a while.
Now consider this photograph.
it's a pig wearing slippers. And the slippers are in the shape of cows. Where did you get this?
I can't disclose that sort of information. So much for Jean and her advice. What have we learnt? We've learnt that the most attractive women weigh 11 stone. Men should be allowed to eat whatever vegetables they like. Sex with a younger man helps, no matter what your problem is. Grandmas are interchangeable. And women with big hands can open jaws. When something bad happens to you, people are quick to give advice. And in those early days, it isn't always easy to decipher the good advice from the bad. My dad told me to listen to a song called It's Over by Roy Orbison. And when I moved out, not to get a flat with a balcony, as I'll be lonely and prone to suicide. As it happens, I live in a flat with a balcony, and I've never listened to the Roy Orbison song. He also told me many times that I'd be okay, and he was right. When I first moved back in with my parents, my mum told me I needed a makeover and a sexy nightie. For the nightie, we went to Marksy's. My mum's in a wheelchair, and as I pushed her around, she grabbed a nightie off a hanger and threw it on the floor, because that's where it'll end up. Even though my mum often started sentences with, the next time you move out, and while I was packing up to move out again, my dad whistled, another one bites the dust. Their 40-year-plus marriage was advice enough on how to do relationships. My mum and dad met when they were both wearing vests. I used to say they met when my mum was wearing a vest, but that just sounds like my dad was at the school gates with some Palmer violets and a smile. No one told me about the cathartic effect of pictures of animals in clothes. I had to find that out for myself. So if you take one thing away from this, the next time you're feeling down, step away from the Viennetta. Go to Google Image and type in pig in slippers. That's the advice I give to you. But the finest piece of advice I received was when a friend said that a breakup was like a bereavement. It's the sort of thing that happy people say to stop you crying. That's rubbish, though. It isn't like a bereavement at all. Because if he died, I'd have had my mortgage paid.
Keeping Your Chins Up was written by and starred Sarah Millican. Other parts were played by Simon Greenall, Emma Fryer and Ingrid Oliver. The producer was Jane Bertu. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. My theory is that together we can solve each other's problems. I think the best way forward is to talk it over with friends and family, ask the opinion of those you trust and who have your best interest at heart, and make your own informed decision. Of course, I haven't always been so clever. I have been known to eat a pound and a half of mint imperials while trudging my way through My Guy Monthly wondering where the one is. I've also sat on a friend's living room floor with a bottle of £1.49 wine and cried and shouted until it was time for Viennetta. Not sexy crying either. You know, the kind of crying you do where you lick a tear off your lip and you realise it isn't a tear. I've always been a good friend. I hope I have. I try to see both sides of it and give advice where I can. Of course, we all have a friend who's a bit needy and always seems to have loads of problems. I have a friend like this who texts me loads, and the texts always start off really upbeat, then change midway through. Just got new bunk beds for the bairns. They were expensive, but it was worth it just to see the smiles on their faces. Been to the doctors, it's not looking good. Problem is probably self-esteem. On some days I look in the mirror and go, is that it? Is that all I've got to play with today? I rang my boyfriend a few weeks ago and said, I feel fat and old today. Fat and old. We chatted for a bit and he made me feel better. And then he summed things up by saying, I know sometimes you feel fat and drab and... I never said drab. Don't add adjectives. Who even uses the word drab? It's like he's been leafing through the dictionary looking for me. Boring, cheerless or drab. I sometimes worry about me weight, like the day I got cut out of a dress in monsoon. I haven't been single for a while, but when I was very good at belly spotting. The different shaped bellies on a man can make the difference between him being a nightmare as a boyfriend and an absolute catch. Front-loaded bellies that look a bit pregnant mean it's the drink. More rounded bellies mean he can cook. Some problems can be solved by 6336, any question answered. They were good on what should I watch on telly tonight? Not so hot on will he ever love me? Some claptrap about biding your time. I was looking for an actual date. He will love you on Thursday. But we all need help. Someone to cry at when a celebrity dies. Someone to take out the bins when they're heavy and smelly. And that's what we're here for. We can talk you through how to handle the end of a relationship. We can build your self-esteem. We can recommend a good counsellor. And cuddle you till you pop. This week, the first problem is dating outside of your class. Should you, why would you, and will it work? I consider myself working class. I choose The Simpsons over the news any day. Once in London, I stayed with a wonderful middle-class friend of mine who had dimmer switches. I had no idea how they worked. I was 29. The transition from dealing with mostly working class people working in a job centre to mostly middle class people working with actors meant my meals changed. I used to have dinner and tea. Then people went out for lunch, so I had lunch and dinner and tea. Put a bit of weight on. But tea is just a drink to some people, isn't it? Sometimes I get confused and end up just having lunch and tea. I was starving. Now I go out for food. Makes it much easier. I have never dated outside of my class. Posh boys do nothing for me. I like proper blokes who normally go to Asda, but sometimes treat themselves to Tesco's. Blokes who wear the creases out of a shirt. Because that's exactly what I'm like. My boyfriend and I both hate posh food and fancy restaurants. I introduced my boyfriend to tapas and he's thrilled because he can just have meat. But that's enough about me. Well, for now. First up tonight, we have Carol. Alan, what's her problem?
I love a plumber and I'm no boiler.
So let's bring her out. Please welcome Carol.
That's not exactly what was in my letter.
No, but we summarised it for you. And you're right, you certainly aren't a boiler. How old are you? Oh, hold on, let's ask the audience. Hello, fella, what's your name?
Paul.
Hello, Paul. How old do you think Carol is?
Oh, this is a terrible question. Always underestimate. 43.
So we're settled on mid-60s.
I'm 59.
So tell us your story.
Okay. I recently had a leaky boiler. I have a computer and no man in my life, so decided to search the computer for a plumber. I typed in plumber and it brought up a million responses. I changed it to plumber plus reliable and that cut it down to just 7. I added plus Leamington Spa and there was only one name, Michael Davison. Isn't that a lovely name? Michael Davison. I rang him and left a message explaining about my leak. He called back 2 days later and said he'd pop round straight away. A week later, he popped round, fixed my leak and left. Oh, well, my problem is that I quite liked him, but I'm worried about what my friends and family will think. I would really rather like to ask him to accompany me on a dinner date, but, well, I just have no clue where to start.
Well, probably not by calling it a dinner date to start with. If you call it a dinner date, he'll turn up at noon. What is it about him that you fancy? Is it that he's capable? I love a capable man. An action man, only without the little outfits.
And with genitals.
Quite.
I had a problem. He came in and fixed it.
I could fancy a man who's done an apprenticeship. It implies tools and maybe even a tool belt.
Michael had a tool belt. He kept pens in it as well.
Oh, I love pens. Did you chat while he was there?
Oh, yes. I asked him if being called out that early was much of a wrench.
Oh, dear God.
And I told him I hadn't handled a stopcock in ages.
Or a conversation with a man, as it turns out. What is your relationship history?
My husband died a couple of years ago.
And you haven't spoken to many men since?
Mainly the Waitrose delivery boy.
And what do you say to him?
Wipe your feet, it's not a farm.
Okay, so the issues we need to address today are, can you date outside of your class and how do you speak to a man? Has anyone in the audience ever dated outside of their class? Let's have a little wave of a hand if anybody has. What's your name, love?
Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Right.
And what class would you consider yourself to be?
Oh, definitely working class.
Definitely, I can hear definitely working class. Was your partner posher or...?
Oh, definitely posher, yes. He wouldn't be seen dead on a bus.
Wouldn't be seen dead on a bus. Wouldn't that be funny if when they died, you just put them on a bus? Can't control it now, love. And how long did the relationship last?
Only 6 months.
Did you go out?
Yes, but it was mainly my sort of choice, which didn't really sit well with him. We'd go to things like Pizza Hut, rather than the sort of posh restaurants that he'd like.
But you can get all the salad you like in Pizza Hut.
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want that? And were there any other awkward things that popped up while you were going out?
Yeah, just doing things like food shopping. I mean, you wouldn't go into Asda, he'd only go to, like, Waitrose or somewhere posh like that.
I like that, because some of the people are going, very, very true, you should always go out there. People are going, what's Asda?
Well, you know, I've been shopping Asda out of that sort of thing for years and I haven't dropped down dead yet, so.
You should be doing like an advertising campaign for Asda.
I've shopped in Asda for years and I've not dropped down dead yet. But if I do, I wouldn't mind if you put us on a bus.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That is. Thank you, Fred. Now, we ran a competition to find our People's Choice expert. We wanted someone normal, one of you, if you like, to help us tackle these problems. And here he is, described in his biog as a modern 90s man. Your winner. Alan, bring him out.
A man who speaks for all men with a limited vocabulary. It's Terry.
My name's Terry and I drive a cab.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Pat.
Well, I've done most things.
Oh, have you ever had a relationship with someone outside of your class?
Yes.
And what class would you consider yourself to be?
Working class.
And she was a bit posh, was she?
No, she was lower than me.
Really?
Don't say it like that. I picked her up in Aldi.
Aldi?
Yeah, I physically picked her up. She was standing in front of the beans.
Where did you put her?
Away from the beans.
Did you come up against any problems due to the difference in class?
No, she was very sweet, actually. Not all women are ball breakers like you, you know. Some of them realise that men do like a bit of softness.
Yeah, in the head.
She was doing a course on care work at the time, and I used to let her practice on me.
What, wiping your bum and that?
No. She cooked me meals and cleaned up around the place, and I used to mark her. And over a two-month period... there was a significant improvement.
So why did it end?
Well, my mum and dad didn't like me. They thought I was too posh. So in the end, I couldn't stand it, and I finished it. And I stopped seeing her, you know. Obviously, I couldn't go to Aldi anymore. Apparently, one afternoon, she stood in front of those beans for 4 hours.
That's surprisingly sad for something that started out hilarious. Thank you, Terry. I'll come back to you in a bit. Now, back to Carol, and although I have A-levels in French, German and media studies and an MVQ in life, I still thought it best to bring in a proper expert, someone who has written essays on feelings. Please welcome to the show our resident expert, Marion Parker, B.A. Ons. Alan?
Her husband cries in the night. It's Marion.
Hello, Marion, are you well?
Today isn't about me.
Oh, okay. marry and meet Carol. What are your initial thoughts on Carol's problem?
Well, Carol, hello.
Good evening.
Now, let's be practical about this. Should you feel that you deserve another bite at the relationship, Cherry, then might I suggest that first you plant the seed of yourself. At the moment, you are a dry, harsh soil with bits of grit in it. Why don't you water yourself with hobbies and pastimes? If you fill the time you spent with your husband, what was he called? Charles, Philip, Gerald?
Gerald.
Gerald, yeah. If you fill the time you spent with Gerald, gardening, writing letters, join a class, learn a craft, you'll flourish, and soon you will be worth spending time with.
I think she's worth spending time with now. I mean, she does seem a little dull, but that's just posh for you, isn't it? I think what Carol needs is rebound boy. I think she needs to have a wicked way with this plumber, learn how to speak to men, and see herself as a sexy, independent woman.
I've got some advice for the lady.
Oh, yeah?
I think she should let him move in.
Isn't that a bit soon?
No, a woman should never live on her own.
Well, I've never heard such a load of rubbish.
Yeah, what if someone broke in?
She's probably got a burglar alarm.
I've got a bat.
Have you?
Yes, down the side of my bed. A policeman I once knew said that I could keep it there if it didn't look like a weapon. So I've got a ball there too.
I'm the same. I've got a massive knife and a massive fork. And say Carol grows into a fulfilled woman as you've suggested, do you think the fact that she is so much posher than any plumber will make a relationship trickier?
Well, there are many occasions when love has crossed the boundaries. Love is like a train. You can get on at one stop, say somewhere like Windsor, and you can travel with a small travel bag full of hopes and expectations to, I don't know, maybe even Manchester. There's a shop on board the love train that sells cynicism, but it's very expensive, so people just usually bring their own. Now, sometimes love will slow down due to a signalling fault or breakdown of communication. Occasionally, when a train has broken down, there is the option to use the bus replacement service. You mustn't do this. This is adultery. You just have to look at classic fiction to see examples. Jane Eyre.
But that's not real.
Fiction is still valid. People believe in the Bible. Why can't we believe in the Bronte? Jane Eyre falls in love with her upper-class employer, Mr. Rochester, and they get married.
All after his loony wife burns the house down and he loses his sight in one of his hands. So if the posh person is disabled, then that makes the relationship a bit more even.
I've got a bad leg.
Oh, well, you're in there then, aren't you? If you can apply films, then what about Pretty Woman? She's a prostitute, he's a businessman, they fall in love.
Are we likening a plumber to a whore here?
No, but maybe if Carol bought the plumber for a week, treated him with some nice clothes, took him to the opera, then a relationship would develop.
How much do you think that would be?
Well, to answer that very question, and to help us get inside the mind of a plumber, we've hired one for the show. Call out plus hourly rate mines to make the most of them. Alan, who's our guest expert?
He beds lonely women, then fixes their taps. It's Chris the Plumber.
Can I just say, I think you lot are treating us like some kind of sex objects. It's not right. I mean, I didn't go through 2 years of training to be treated like that. I mean, yes, I'll admit there are a few like that. A few who give the rest of us a bad name. But not all of us, you know? I'm just a plumber.
So do you think Carol should just back off?
No, I think she should talk to him, see if they've got anything in common. I mean, you're quite posh, aren't you?
It's all relative.
It's not. No, I've got a test for poshness. Do you mind if I...
No, please, go ahead.
Right. What do you have on your chips?
I don't really have chips.
See? What would you have, love?
Gravy.
Exactly. All right, yeah. How big's your telly?
Well, the one in the drawing room is a decent size.
Ooh, the one in the drawing room. Well, at least you've got more than one, that's good. Right, final one. Drive-through or sitting?
Neither.
Which one is posher out of those two?
It's drive-through, innit? They won't even look it if you're not in a vehicle. Such snobbery.
From this, we have deduced that you are different people. Of course you're different. Carol is a woman who treats cheese like it's supposed to be treated.
And not just grated onto beans.
Yeah, listen, hang on. While we are different, there might be some crossover. I mean, the multiple tellies thing is often where such relationships fall down. But there might be hope. Also, she seems quite a capable woman, and capable men always find that attractive.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, what can you do?
I can retune a piano.
Right, guess again.
I've made my own pate.
No, last chance.
I can kill a pig.
There we go. Definite crossover.
Well, maybe I have a few questions for you.
Fire away.
What kind of wine do you like?
Whites and reds and the pink one.
What's your favourite kind of olive?
Oh, where I'm from, pet, olives are what you take off the pizza before you eat it.
It's a garnish, love. You're not supposed to eat. It's like parsley and salad.
Any more questions, Carol?
I'm a little worried what people might think.
Well, they'll be jealous. Plumbers are considered the fourth most desirable profession after firemen, policemen and caretakers.
I was thinking more about my friends and family. If I were to begin a relationship with my plumber, could I invite him out with my friends?
Yeah, of course you could. And he'd be a hit, as we're happy to answer any questions about plumbing and gas fitting. Look, your plumber isn't thick, he's not rude, he's not unpleasant. I mean, if he's qualified, he's clearly a clever man. I would bet he keeps up to date with the news, enjoys black and white films about Nazis, and could cook a bit.
And if he's nice and treats you well, surely your friends will see that.
It's important that your friends accept him, and it's important what Gerald thinks.
He's dead.
Mm. After the first flush of excitement, you should be prepared for the guilt you feel when a loved one dies. It's worse if you were responsible. You weren't?
No.
Good. Brace yourself for a crushing guilt.
Oh, like the kind that you feel when you meant to tell the homeless man that you had no change, but instead accidentally said, oh, I've only got notes.
Have you ever thought about just leaving things as they are? I've worn the same make of shoes for 10 years and eaten the same for my lunch for the past 5. If things change, there's a chance they'll change for the worse. It's like caterpillars. As soon as they change into butterflies, they die.
That's not true.
It is. The grass is just as green here as it is over there. If that becomes your mantra, you'll live a long and happy life.
I think I'd rather be a butterfly for a day than a caterpillar who wears the same shoes for 10 years. Thank you, Marion. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome, pet. Good luck. Our next guest is Jamie, who's having bother with his love life. Alan, bring him out.
He's having his cake and eating it. It's Jamie.
Jamie, what's your problem?
I love two people.
Oh, that's quite succinct, isn't it? Could you flower it up a bit?
I love two people, and it's hard.
Is one of them yourself? That's how all relationships should be. How can you expect anyone to paint their picture on your wall if first you have not applied the undercoat of you? Your partner is the more important, but you must hug yourself every day and tell yourself you deserve the love they shower on you.
So I don't understand her.
None of us do. Petra's got certificates. And I don't agree about your partner being more important than you. Surely you're equal. I think I'm equal to my boyfriend.
You must always be ready to give your life for his. For example, what if he needed a kidney?
Well, we've all got 2 kidneys.
What if he needed a lung?
We've got 2 lungs.
What if he needed a head?
Are you seriously suggesting a head transplant?
If you loved him, you'd die for him.
I don't think I would. I love him, but I wouldn't die for him. I'd take a bullet for him, but only if it was in the leg. So I'd be temporarily disabled for him. Now, Jamie, one of them isn't you, is it, Kat?
No, they're both women.
Tell us about the women.
Well, Susan...
Oh, let's not use real names here, Pet.
Oh, Snoozen. Snoozen's my girlfriend. I've known her for 5 years. We lived together for 4. She's clever, funny, has a great figure. Great figure.
All good so far. And the other woman?
Well, she was the first girl I ever wanted to.
Okay. Because it's Radio 4, if you could just give us what was going on in your heart and your head rather than in your pants.
Wait,
like emotions, you know, how you felt, that sort of thing. When you think about that, how do you feel?
I get a headache.
Marion, help.
I've got sons. Jamie, your tea's ready, but only if you tell us about your first love.
I'll be down in a minute. I hadn't seen her since we left school. I went to college and she got a job in a shop till she was due.
Turn the music down! So she was pregnant?
Yeah, it wasn't mine. I'd only really liked her from a distance, really. She never even spoke to me. Oh, I bit my wart off to show I loved her.
You did what?
Well, we'd been doing Van Gogh in art.
And what happened?
Well, it bled everywhere, then it grew back.
No, I meant, did it work?
No. I've still got it, if you want to...
Yeah.
Did you know that by never letting it die, you kept your love for her alive? But equally, your feelings for her kept the wart alive. It's like a struggle between good and... warts. If the wart dies, then so will she. Did you tell her how you felt? How every time you look at that wart, it reminds you of her? Women like compliments.
I've done this.
You've loved two women at once?
Two, yeah, and a rest. What I mean is, I know about women and I know how to do compliments. The trick to complimenting a woman is to pick something that she's clearly not happy with and make it sound nice.
Well, that sounds like a good tip.
Right, so say she's fat.
Or is concerned about her weight.
Yeah, say she's concerned about her weight. You could tell her that you didn't mind she was fat.
Or you could tell her that you think she's beautiful.
True, unless she's not. No woman likes a liar.
That's true, but surely you would only be with a woman who you found attractive physically.
Not always.
He's right there.
Have we got anybody in the audience who's ever been in love with two people at once? Fella who's fidgeting?
Hello, fella.
Hello.
Have you ever been out with two people at once?
More than two.
How many?
Oh, my God, are you counting?
I used to work on a cruise liner.
What is, say that as if that's an explanation.
We were expected to entertain the passengers, shall we say.
Yes, but surely with, like, banjos and, you know... Did you consider yourself a bit of a gigolo?
Well, it was very tiring, let's put it that way.
Now, this is a really personal question, and you're entirely within your rights to say I'm not going to answer that, but did you ever have any problems where you shouted the wrong name during the act?
I normally didn't use the name.
See you. And how long did you do that job for?
About 2 years.
And were you just knackered after that? Yeah. And then, is this your good lady that you've got beside
yes,
you
it
now?
Is.
Can you pop her on? Hello, lady.
Hello.
Did you know about this before today?
Yes.
Oh, that's all right. I had this horrible thought that all of a sudden you just split up, but if you knew what he was like
when you
got into it. Well, you weren't one of these...
No.
One of his ladies on the go, were
no,
you?
But I will tell you, he did need the practice.
If I was close enough, I would high-five you. Well done, lady. Thank you very much. You guys, can we give them a round of applause? So, Jamie, have you talked to Snoozen about your first love?
Who, sorry? But...
Snoozen.
Snoozen. No.
Communication is the key. These days we can communicate in a variety of ways. Text, phone, email, telepathy. Did you know that women say 5,000 words a day and men only say 2? Usually in answer to a question about food. Men can transmit telepathic messages very effectively, but women haven't figured out a way of receiving them. We haven't had time. Am I to understand that you haven't made further advances to your first love?
What? Sorry? What?
Have you made love to her in a nude? Oh.
No. I brought her a drink at the reunion, and that's it, really.
Talk to Snoozen. It could be that your first love is just a blip. Talking is nice anyway. Aren't you enjoying this?
Well,
Of course, everything could unravel and you could lose both of them. But let's dwell on the happy side of life. No one ever got anywhere by thinking realistically.
Why don't you have a chat with her? You might persuade her to let the other girl move in.
How is your relationship with Snoozen? Do you love her?
Well, yeah, but this other woman... She makes me feel so...
Careful, Radio 4, remember?
The
fastidious?
Okay, Jamie. Snoozing is a Sunday roast and this other girl is Christmas pudding. Sunday roast is lovely, reliable, good for you, makes you happy. Christmas pudding comes around once a year and it's nice because you haven't had it for ages. But when you taste it, you realise there's a reason you only have it once a year. What I'm suggesting is that you stick with the Sunday roast, but maybe vary the veg once in a while.
Very good.
Oh, thank you. I'm very good on dinners.
Has that helped at all?
I think so. I'm very hungry.
Final words, everyone. Terry?
Get stuck into dinner and pudding.
My advice is don't risk what you have for a fling. Marion?
Learn to love Elaine Page.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
So there we have today's advice. Lessons learned. If you've enough in common, relationships across the classes can work. See all of Catherine Cookson's back catalogue. Or one of them, it's much the same. Only greedy people cheat on their partners, and you can love two women at once, as long as they're your girlfriend and your mum. Sarah Millican's support group comes back same time, same place next week, when Amanda complains that her boyfriend won't go anywhere with her. He'll be on the line from home.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Helen Atkinson-Wood, Ruth Bratt, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Steve Edge and Nick Mahaney. It was produced by Leanne Cooper. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
Hello and welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. This is where you come if you have a problem. Problems can be solved in a number of ways. Some people think tea helps. My boyfriend buys me chocolate and calls it lady medicine because it fixes his lady. Some people change their Facebook status and refresh and refresh until someone types in a hug. The first time I had a major problem, I went to see a counsellor. She was the first of two counsellors I've ever seen. The second has sorted my head out many times and even invited me to perform at her wedding. The first, however, gave me a ticky list of statements such as, I have planned my own funeral. With the answers, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, strongly agree. I filled it in honestly and she looked genuinely disappointed and said, it's a very low score. To which I responded, do I not win the car? I've always been a reacher rather than a bottler. If I have a problem, then I reach out to people for help. A while ago, I was feeling flat and down, and it was 8 a.m, and I thought, who do I know who would be up at this time but not at work? Then I thought, my parents, because they're retired. They will have been up since 5 and probably had their lunch by now. I rang them, and my dad answered the phone. I told him what was going on, and he reminded me of all the good things that had happened and filled me with hope for what was to come. Then he said, are you familiar with the poem If by Rudyard Kipling? I said, no. He said, I want you to put the computer on and Google it. I want you to read it to us. Now, a lot of you will already be familiar with the poem. For those of you who aren't, I urge you to read it next time you have 5 minutes spare on the internet. It really is an inspirational poem. I read it to my dad. There are 4 verses. And by the time I got to the end of the 3rd verse, I was crying. It was having that kind of effect on us. I waded through the last verse and at the end, my dad said, well, what do you think of that? And I said, whew, powerful stuff. He asked how I was doing and I said, better. A 15-minute chat with me dad and then the poem, he done good work. Then he said, I'm going to have to go now, if that's all right. And I said, no, that's fine. Thank you for everything that you've done. And he said, just because when you rang, I was just about to get in the shower and I haven't got anything on. And I know where the phone is in that room. It's right in front of the window. How's he going to explain that away to his neighbours? Why are we on the phone in the nuddy? I was just cheering my daughter up. So some people have a thoughtful, naked dad. And for everyone else, there's Sarah Millican's support group. The support group isn't just me. As well as all of you, there are 3 of us. I think it's time we brought out our first expert. We ran a competition to find a people's choice expert, someone like you, to help us solve these problems. Out of the 5 we shortlisted, you voted in your 10s. For one man. In his biog, he described himself as an old-fashioned feminist. Let's bring out your winner.
He's just like you and me, only not as articulate and a bit more sexist. It's Terry.
I'm Terry and I drive a cab.
Hello, what have you been up to this week, Terry?
I've been helping my neighbour with her shopping and housework and that.
Oh, is she old?
No, but her husband's out and she's fit. You never guess who I had in the cab the other day?
Oh, who?
Oh, and you know, just some passengers.
Let's bring her the resident expert. Someone who has studied people and got a B. It's Marion.
Her dissertation was called Why Men Cry. It's Marion.
Hello, Marion. What have you been up to this week?
I've signed up.